welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me, either through fate, destiny, or just an accident. Maybe you were deliberate. This radio program is for, December the 16th, 2018. Boy, it goes fast, doesn't it? Heading towards Christmas. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank those of you who make comments and are kind enough to write me and offer me radio questions. And today is no exception. We have some wonderful questions here that were given to me by three people, Ray, Thomas, and Kathy. And interestingly enough, all from Florida. Who knew? How do you guys get together or what is it? Anyway, this is where it's at. We're going to talk about teach me how to. People will say to me, how do I get this? Teach me how to have that. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. As many of you know, we're in our fundraising drive right now to keep Aspire alive, to keep it on the air, and it is only through your tax-deductible gift that this is allowed to happen. We're in our year-end fundraising drive, and our mystery donor, who is very kind and generous, is going to match all of your donations that you make to keep Aspire on the air, and I hope that you will make a donation today. It's very, very important. We're running low, and we really need your support. The way you could help is to become a sponsor. He will match that. A sponsor is a person who either gives a monthly or quarterly donation to keep us on the air. These are very, very important gifts. They are tax deductible, of course. They can be offered every month or every 4 months. It's a blessing you will get for that. Your message of the month each and every month for your donation. You can download it from the website at aspire.org, or I can send you a CD copy if you like, whatever works for you. It's my honor. You will also have access to all of my podcasts, videocasts, and commentaries, as well as 122 discourses from past TV programs that I've done on all sorts of subjects, from What is the Point of It All, which is coming up here in January. You will be able to watch that series on the Aspire TV on our website at aspire.org. From the Tao to the Gnostic Gospels, to Buddha and the Eightfold Path. There are so many things there, and I hope that you will avail yourself of that. They're absolutely free. They're about a half hour each, and they can be downloaded and used any way you like. They're my gift to you for your loving support. Go take a look. If you're interested, go to the website at aspire.org, and you will see on the splash page the year-end donation offering, and just click on that and fly. All of your questions as to why support Aspire and all of that is definitely there. Teach me how to. Everybody wants to be taught certain things. Teach me how to have this. Teach me how to have that. So I chose three different, believe it or not, questions. I did not know that they were coming from the same state. It just blew my mind. I didn't even think about it until after I had gathered the questions. And here they are, all from Florida. The first one comes from Ray in Florida. I'm not going to say what city, just Florida. Teach me how to get what I want. This is the big one. Everybody wants to have what they want. And this is typically a compensation for what they believe they're not, and trying to prove to themselves that that is what they are. Whatever that may be, their little heart's content. One of the fallacies of the Constitution of the United States is that part where they talk about, being able to have whatever you want and to live from your human heart. It's a difficult thing to do. It's the crux of all greed, and it undermines the whole structure of the Constitution and undermines the structure of our lives. That makes our lives difficult. It really is quite interesting how we live our life and all of that. The real question is, Ray, what is it that you want, that you think you need, that you don't already have? One of the difficulties, the real difficulties of getting what we want, is that in doing so, we betray our authentic heart. The pursuit of happiness, as the Constitution states, is usually defined as the idea of getting something we want, something that makes us happy. Well, what would make you happy? $1 million? $2 million? $3 million? It never ends. The more you get of what you want, the more you want something more. We have a very difficult time learning how to live with our own life. We struggle with living with our own life. We don't really get it, nor do we understand that our life is the way our life is because we are the way we are, and how we assume life to be and how we see it in our own mind, how we believe it to be, how we interpret it makes us typically unhappy. So we want something to compensate for that. I want a child. I want a house. I want a car. I want money. I want a vacation. I want to retire. I want a better job, blah, blah. All these things, or I don't want to work at all. Life is not a matter of what I want. And if I make what I want my life, my pursuit in life, I will become very vain, bitter, and unhappy. And nothing, and I mean nothing, will be of any great meaning to me at all. I mean, I want you to look at your life for a moment. Really look at it. What more could you want? Even if you're going through very difficult times, as we all do, what more could you want? You have to ask yourself, not what is it that I want, but how do I live with what I have? Now, if you can ask that question, Ray, if that can be the question of your heart's pursuit, your deepest heart, your authentic heart, then you have something magnificent to look at. How do I live with what I have? How do I live with the goodness of my life? And if you don't see any goodness there, you have to ask yourself why. What were you holding out for? What were you doing? A lot of people live very skeptical lives, lives that are very much in the anticipation of something better happening to them than the kind of person they really are. People want to think of themselves as better than what they are. And that is the crux of the whole matter. I have to look at myself and ask myself, am I the person I'd like to believe I am? And if you want to say yes, I can guarantee you, you're wrong. I can guarantee it. None of us are the person we'd like to believe that we are. None of us. There is more to us than we can ever imagine. And if you are willing to look at the bigger picture, to have a sense of, shall we say, awakening inside, you will find that there is far more to you than what you ever can believe in. There is a distinction between ourselves and this thing called life and how we live with our own life. The real question is, how do I live with my life? Am I dissatisfied with it? Am I not grateful for all the things it's pointing me towards? What if what I want isn't what I'm here for? What if there's something entirely different going on, and I'm here for much more noble reasons and purposes than I could ever have imagined? Now what? Now what do I do? What do I do with my life? How do I allow it to form into the way of living that is authentic, real, sustaining compassion and love? That's the point of it all. So when you start looking at your own life and your own livingness, and you start realizing that getting what you and I want may not be the focus or the purpose of living itself, Now we have something magnificent that we might be able to look at and maybe change our entire life. Maybe what you want isn't what you are. Maybe there is something that you're here for that is different than what you believe you're here for. What if everything that you're interpreting about your life is wrong? Maybe the difficulty is you're not moving in the direction that your life, well, is custom made for. It has to do with karma. But maybe there's more to your life than you believe there really is. And I would venture to say that would probably be true, that there is more to you than what you want, and that you are not the man you would like to think yourself to be. There is something else going on. I can guarantee you this, you will find it out if you can drop better or worse, good or bad. Just watch, sit, observe, watch. And as the Buddha said so beautifully, want nothing with all of your heart. That is the key. Ray, I hope that helps you. You are much more than you think you are, and much less than you believe yourself to be. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next question from Thomas. Teach me how to be right. Thomas. Well, Thomas, I don't know what you mean by right. Right about what? Right? Everybody wants to be right. Everybody believes they are right, which goes back to my question with Ray, that we're none of the things we think we're right about. What could you be right about? Everything is changing. Right is a fluctuation of emotionality. What was right one moment ago may not be right in this moment or the next. It may vacillate. Typically it does. So how can we seek right? I believe, looking into your question a little further, that what you're talking about is that you want righteousness. You want to be righteous and find righteousness. And if this is what I think it is, correct me if I'm wrong here, you just want to be right so you don't have to be questioned. You want to go your own way, as you would look at it, and then think to yourself, well, I'll never know if I'm right unless I get to do things my own way. And that may be true. I'm not going to fight you on that. Maybe that's true. Maybe you need to go your own way. I think the prodigal son, the story, is a very interesting one where he took all of his inheritance and wanted to be right and wanted to go and do it his way. So he went and did it his way. And he squandered everything and had to come back with his tail between his legs. He was deeply blessed by the fact that his father loved him enough to bring him back and help him along. And that is the compassion and the mercy that is here for us. If you really think about how the world has turned out, how utterly futile this world is and how difficult this world is, you can see that it is a great mercy that is bestowed upon us, a great mercy. This mercy for the kind of people we are is a very interesting thing to me. When I think about all of the ways I have screwed up in my own life, straying away from the meaning and the significance of what my life was really all about, I can see how patient and loving life has been with me. And I am humbled by it. I hope you are too. This would bespeak of every one of us in this lifetime, every one of us, about being patient and humble. And in that patience, in that humility, we seek the way of the heart. And the way of your greatness, the true greatness of being, is through humility. Not through being grandiose or thinking that you could be happier if you had this or that in your life. to be right. It's a dangerous thing to be right. Rightness does not promote compassion or love. Rightness is a matter of subjectivity. And I think you might want to replace the idea of being right, though I don't think you will, with the idea of being aware. Awareness takes true courage. The courage of humility. Humility is the greatest courage there is in this lifetime. Believe me, it is. And without this idea of the courage of humility, you will not live in the kindness of your heart, and nor would I. This courage of humility allows for forgiveness. The human body, the human mind, the human psyche will never forgive. Believe me, it can't, it won't, and it doesn't. But what will forgive is your heart. And if you can live in your heart and sustain it as a way of life rather than seeking what you believe is right, you will bump up against your soul and how beautiful that soul is. Its immensity, its complexity, its authenticity exceeds anything you could ever know in your mind, in your body, in your emotions. So if you are willing of an authentic heart, a spiritual heart, a heart of love, if you are willing to put love first rather than being right, you're going to find deep changes in you. You're going to find the complexity of your life changing. You will find that being authentic in your life through kindness and mercy and changing the way you live your life through kindness and mercy alters everything that is going on in your daily living. You're going to find everything has a purpose, a significance. Thomas, I would say to you, seek significance over rightness. Seek humility over pride. Seek to be unconscionable over being conscionable. Live in the unconscionable generosity of forgiveness, of love, of peace inside you. Find that inner peace and don't let anything disturb it. If you find that inner peace within you, you will have found the significance of everything that is important in this lifetime through this world. This world will not look like it does to you right now. This world will look like an ephemeral dream, which it is. And you will see it for what it is, an opportunity for love, an opportunity to change into consciousness, to emerge, to have a sense of reality as a spiritual being. Once this is understood profoundly within you, you will find the ebb and the flow of your life. It takes discipline, and I know that is not something that people like to hear. It takes real discipline not to allow your mind and your body to rule over your life. But it is more than worth it, believe me. And if you can discipline your life to live in the consciousness that I speak of here, which is a spiritual practice, it is not a philosophy or religion. It is an authentic spiritual practice. If you can allow for that, you won't seek rightness anymore, but you will have found righteousness. The righteousness of love. And that, my friend, I can't even explain that. There are no words for it, except it is an epic experience. It isn't grandiose, it is epic. It turns a person's life into the jewels of the heart. That's all I can say. It is magnificent. It is beautiful. And when it touched my life and entered into it, it changed everything that was significant for me. The true significance of my life was no longer in the things I had or did. It was in the way of the heart. Thomas, I wish you well. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Sometimes the difficulty of doing these radio programs is that the person who's asked me the question is not sitting in front of me and can't ask other things, you know. And I know that a lot of the time my answers are not what they were hoping for, and that's another difficulty. Okay, the last question from Kathy in Florida. Who knew? Teach me how to be loved. L-O-V-E-D. Kathy, here's another answer you're not going to like. It isn't a matter of being loved. It's a matter of being love. I can help you with the way of love, where you live in that love. But I can't teach you to be loved. To be loved is something that occurs when a person is willing to be love. To be love, I can't be Gregory. I can't be his mind, his body. I can't be any of that. I can't be the Gregory. I can only be that which does not exist to Gregory, and that is love. Love is not something you deliberately become. Love is gradual, and then all of a sudden, it is sudden. Love is the sudden movement of silence within me. And in that silence, as it grows in its complexity and its beauty, unfolds deeply. It awakens parts of me that I did not know existed. And its range and power goes beyond anything I could ever conceive of in my mind or in my thoughts. So there you are. It isn't something that you teach a person how to be, how to get, how to have, how to do, like you would teach them a skill. Love is not a skill. It is a state of being. And oftentimes, Kathy, it comes with great futility. I have to be convinced finally inside myself that I am no more the way I was, that I am no more the man that I believed myself to be. The question is, how do I live with the love of my life? If I live in the love and with the love of my life, I no longer cling to the mortal things such as wanting to be popular or right or better than or whatever I believe I need to be. I no longer live in that kind of assumption. I am willing to put what should be first, first. And what needs to be last, last. And this is an art. This is something that very few people understand. What should be first? Anything that accelerates consciousness in me. Silence, compassion, submission to the authentic heart. What should be last? Desire, pride, ambition, fear. Now that you know all these things, you can implement them deeply through kind of a steady compassion. And if you can do that, if you can live in that realm, through that realm, you will find that it isn't about to being loved. It is about to being the love that is your life. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. Well, I hope this answered some of your questions. I hope it was helpful. I really do. And I hope you will join us again next week. Please forgive me for everything, eh? Have a beautiful weekend. Namaste.